I think it's time that we start the conversation to silence the shame.
Silence the shame.
Silence the shame. Silence is the difference between treatment or pain, life or death.
Silence the shame.
Speak up now and silence.
Silence.
Silence. Silence the shame.
Welcome back to another Silence the Shame podcast. We're super excited that you joined us again for another wonderful conversation with another wonderful individual that is impacting our community tremendously. First, we would like to thank Shanti Das and Free for being the gurus and the onsetters of the podcast and paving the way. But I am Life, and I'm the new podcast host, and I'm welcoming a new wonderful member of our community who is doing some great work with Black girls, Dr. Joy Harden. Hi, Dr. Joy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited that we are finally here. It took us a couple of tries, but that's okay. We're here. Thanks for joining us on the Silence the Shame podcast. I have a few questions we would like to talk about, but I just want to have a candid conversation about how you view Black girl joy or Black girl magic or how you created your organization called Therapy for Black Girls.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to be chatting with you. So, you know, when I think about like Black girl magic and Black girl joy, I think about the warmth and the love that happens when Black women and girls gather. Like, I just feel like there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is an incredible barrier. It is something that bolsters our mental health. So I'm super excited to chat more about it. Therapy for Black Girls. I started Therapy for Black Girls in 2014 after watching Black Girls Rock, the award show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the award show. They don't do it anymore, I don't think.
Well, they're bringing it back this year, okay, and it's going to be in Atlanta, so very exciting.
I have a daughter, and we used to watch it together, so I'm super excited that they're bringing that show back.
Yes, yes, but you could see the energy, right? Like, I think it was a lot of our favorite shows, because it was just so beautiful to see, like, Black women giving each other flowers and celebrating each other in all the large and small ways.
Right.
And as I was watching, I thought, it would be really cool to capture some of this same energy for Black women related to mental health.
Yes.
And so I jumped on GoDaddy and the domain was available and I bought it that night. And I just started blogging on Therapy for Black Girls.
Pretty
and
cool.
Talking about, yeah, like, how do you find a therapist? How do you make the most of your support system? And it has now grown to include a weekly podcast that has over 40 million downloads,
oh, wow,
as well as our therapist directory that has over 6,000 therapists across the country and in Canada.
This is pretty cool. So you seized the moment when you were in there, you were like, GoDaddy, this is me. We're going to take this on. But I wonder what brought you to that point to say that we really needed an organization that focuses around Black girls and therapy for Black girls, because in the media and what we see on these shows and these new reality things, they're teaching young women to sort of have this hate-love relationship with each other. Like, you have to fight me in order to love me, and that's the only way that you show your love. So within that realm, like, you created Black Girls Therapy, what does it mean for you to have a model or a opportunity and platform for young women to be able to come to sort of bring joy to the Black women instead of bringing down the Black women?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important for us to pay attention to, like, the media will tell one story, but I think when we look at our actual lives and our actual relationships, it is not always reflective,
right,
of what we see in the media.
Right.
And I understand that, right? Like, of course, there are going to be fights because there are fights and, like, people don't like each other in any community. That isn't different between Black women, right? We don't
right.
rock with everybody. But what I think is the larger truth about who we are is that Black women are largely uplifting mm-hmm. one another and are always there to lend a helping hand. And so before Therapy for Black Girls was my full-time job, I was the director of the Counseling Center at Clark Atlanta University.
Pretty cool.
And I have been on several different college campuses, and I always ran groups for the Black women on campus because, of course, we know that there's still a lot of stigma mm-hmm. related to mental health. And so it felt important to create a space where Black women could come and talk about the kinds of things they were struggling with and that they could connect with someone from the Counseling Center. And so it feels largely like the work that I do for Therapy for Black Girls is a continuation of that work in terms of just giving people resources where they can see themselves and they know that they can get the support they need.
That's I love that. And I love that you are providing that platform for individuals, because the Black woman in today's society is seen as the last person sort of on the totem pole. We don't get any recognition. We're the last to be hired. We're the last to be given a promotion or a raise just because of the color of our skin. And so many of our Black women are fighting these same barriers still today. And we have so many women in media and in leadership who are still fighting for us to have equal rights. Tell me how your platform is sort of pushing the same policies or same opportunities for young women to see themselves as being the CEOs or being the CFO and being in those type leaderships. How are you focusing your mental health therapies around being able to support them in those realms?
Yeah, much of the work we do at Therapy for Black Girls is really helping Black women and girls to know that it's okay to take off these capes that I think a lot of us are socialized to feel like we need, right? Like, I think there are often so many calls for Black women to kind of show up and save organizations, right. Save the world, yes. And save democracy, and, you know, like, let's call a Black girl in, right?
Right.
But I think that, you know, even though sometimes that feels good to kind of be thought of in those ways and like that makes us feel important, the other side of that is that it often forces us to almost go through life robotic,
right?
Like, which means right. that we are not connected to our emotions and feelings. And we're not actually robots. Like, mm-hmm. we are people with human emotions, just like everybody else. And so right. I think really what we want to do at Therapy for Black Girls is give women the opportunity to embrace the fullness of who they are. So yes, you can be this rock star CEO, but you can also be someone who's deeply hurt mm-hmm. by things. And you can also be someone who's really struggling with your mental health. And it's okay to say that you need help.
That's a point that I have. I was reading about all of the great things that you've been doing and just reading up on your organization. And I just thought within our generation, we've been taught to be strong, independent, intelligent women. And we're not supposed to show the soft side. But I hear this new trending thing. I'm living in my soft era. Like, I want to be in my soft phase. How do you tell women, since we have this platform and are able to speak to women through Silence to Shame, what are some tips and things that you would tell women why to tap into your soft side and not always have that strong core or that defense mechanism that we put up as if we are strong all the time and really letting loose of those emotions that we are holding in?
Yeah, I think it really is all about embracing our humanity, right? And not feeling like we have to go through life being robots. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because of this soft life thing I've also heard about. And I get it, right? Like, we don't want to have to be on all the time and like life, we want life to be easy.
Right.
But I think what often comes with like having a soft life is sometimes very difficult decisions and difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. So a soft life to me means really working hard to set boundaries so that you can protect your time, you can protect your peace, you can protect your energy. And sometimes setting boundaries are not the easiest thing to do, right?
Especially with
people who are close to us and family. Like, those are often sometimes very prickly kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of reasons why we maybe have avoided setting boundaries in our lives. And so I think one of the best things we can do to live a soft life is to really work on setting boundaries so that we have more time to kind of pour into the things that really fill us up and make us joyful and happy and restored. Mm-hmm. But that often comes with protecting our time and our energy.
I'm glad you said that. That seems to be a new word this year, that everybody's working on their boundaries and learning how to say no and how important it is to say no. Like, I know in my family, I'm the yes girl. You call me, I'm going to say yes. You send me an email, I'm going to figure out how to do it. Even if I have a team sometimes, it's on me. So I feel like I have to make sure it's being done instead of relying on individuals in my family who I know can do the same things, or relying on people on my team. Because that's what they're on my team for, because they have these expertise is why I brought them on. How do we release that hold of wanting everything to be right because it's coming out of our hands? Is that something that we've been taught as Black women? Is that something I see it more in Black women than I do in others, of always wanting to be sort of perfect and on point all the time, because we feel this need to always be that way because we never know who will come in front. I mean, it's for every reason, but why do you think we feel the need to always be on point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think, you know, something, again, that unfortunately society has taught us as Black women is that there is no room for error.
Right.
Right. So everybody else is allowed to make mistakes. But when Black women and girls do it, then it's like a grave mistake. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't come back from it. And that's actually not the truth. Right. And so I think it's a part of us practicing kind of making mistakes and like being not 100% all the time. Right? Right. Like, I know many of us have been taught that you have to work twice as hard to get half as much. Like, mm-hmm. So many of our parents and grandparents have like drilled that into our heads. But the truth is that that hasn't really served us well, right? Yeah, like, right, people are running right. themselves into the ground, giving their all to organizations and to groups and still not reaping any of the benefits.
That is
and so
true.
What would it look like for us to kind of give up this thing that maybe we thought would help us in the past, but we realize now it's not? And so I think it is a practice of us asking for help, because I think that's something that we don't do well as Black women, right? Because I think we get it in our mind, like, they're not going to do it like I'm going to do it. And right. so I might as well just do it myself,
that's
right?
Exactly how we all feel, right?
I know. But is it more important for the thing to be done, or does it have to be done the way that you would do it, right?
Difference.
And so I think it's just us practicing even little things, right? Like, even if you could do it yourself, mm-hmm. why not practice asking for help and letting somebody else step in to take care of us every now and then?
Releasing the reins, like, let go of some stuff, because then at nighttime you're like, oh, I'm so bogged down. Oh, it's so heavy. Well, if we just release it and let go of some things. And I learned that in the past couple of years, that you can't hold on to everything. Everything's not going to be finished today, and it's okay. If you're not holding on to like life support, somebody's life support cord that literally will release their life, it's going to be all right. Nobody's going to die today if that email does not get answered or sent today, right? So yeah. I'm teaching my daughter. She's a 16-year-old young lady. And I just realized that I was teaching her to be that strong, independent person. And she was always like, you're always expecting me, but your son can have room. And it snapped in me just in that moment. Like, I am teaching her to be this, don't ever think that you should be able to. And mistakes teach us so much. Like, being able to make those mistakes and make them on your own teaches you something inside yourself, instead of me being controlling of every environment and everything that she's doing. So I'm releasing some reins myself in my own world. But I wanted to talk to you about what it means to have a therapist that looks like us, or knows that we've been going through on a daily basis, or having the same insights of sort of generational curses. What is it like to have a Black woman therapist as a Black woman? What does that mean, and how important is that in your treatment path, or say path to recovery?
Yeah, I think it's as important as it is to you, right? Mm-hmm. So for a lot of Black women, it is really important for them to have a therapist that looks like them,
right?
Because there is the assumption, and it is an assumption, right? Because we know Black people are not a monolith, like, we all have very different experiences.
Right.
But there are typically some shared understandings of like what it means to be Black in this country,
right,
at least. And so for a lot of people, especially if you don't have a family history of like people going to therapy, and like, you're still very unsure about the process, for a lot of people, talking with someone who looks like them or has some shared cultural understanding can make it a little easier to actually embrace the process. And so for a lot of people, I tell people, if it feels important to you, it's absolutely okay for you to look for a therapist that you feel like comes in the package that you want.
Right.
However, I also think it's important for you to be open to the fact that you can also get some incredible therapy for somebody who comes in a very different package than you ever expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is that there are not enough Black therapists to go around. Like, even if every Black person wanted a Black therapist, there are not enough of us. And so for some of us, it'll be important to kind of be open to other options that we can also still get really great care.
I'm glad you said that, because many of us do think that we need only us can help us or heal us. And there are so many great therapists out there. There's a workforce shortage in the therapy world, all over, in every culture. But in many cultures, it helps if you have those same insights or have that education and information to be able to build. But don't negate that others don't have that, or they haven't done the work to be able to support you in the worlds that you live. I want to get to you, like, you use a lot of celebrate joy. And my pastor used to always say, count it all joy. What does it mean to, even through trauma and even through therapy or even through experiences in life, what does it mean to you to celebrate joy?
Yeah, I think it's important because the joy and like the gratitude and like the other things that feel more celebratory mm-hmm. are what allow you to get through those difficult moments, right? So even when there's a lot of stress going on, even when it feels like, you know, so much in the world is kind of falling apart, if we pay attention enough, there's always things for us to be grateful for. And there's always joyful things that we can experience and celebrate. And so I think it's important to make sure that you're tapping into those things because that's what kind of builds up your reservoir to take on the more difficult situations. And I think a lot of times people feel really ashamed and embarrassed to like mm-hmm. be having a good moment when maybe they're grieving or something terrible has happened.
Yes.
But again, that's a part of the human experience. Like there is enough space for us to hold space for difficult things that have happened to us and the things that feel really good and really help to fill us up. And so I think that's just what it means to be human.
That I love that. Just having joy, especially in the time that you're going through trauma or going through grief, that holds you up. That's that refresher that you need during the day that you don't completely check out while in that process of grieving or going through trauma or healing from your trauma. I want to mm-hmm. shift over. I hear that you have a book out. It's called Sisterhood Heals. Tell us a little bit about that book and how what we've been talking about already you either dive into or tap into through your book. I hear that it's a love letter to Black women and a tribute to bonds and what sisterhood and bonds really mean as we go through trauma or life experiences or joy and success stories, what that means to have a sisterhood and what that means to help you carry you through these life moments that you may experience.
Yeah, I think it really goes back to the very first question that you asked me around, like, what does it mean to kind of celebrate joy? Mm-hmm. And even thinking back to like watching Black girls rock, you know, like the sisterhood was very alive in that room and we could see it even on the TV screen. And so I think when we think about the relationships that Black women often have with one another, it is really through those relationships that we learn more about ourselves. Mm-hmm. We learn more about how to ask for support. We learn how to be a better supporter of other people.
Right.
And I think historically, Black women's relationships with one another have really been instrumental to our mental health.
Right.
And so the book is really both a celebration of who Black women have been to one another and our relationships, but also a gentle invitation into how we can do a better job of showing up for one another so that our mental health is better taken care of.
That's good. Everybody needs a circle. You don't need a big circle, but you need a support system. Everyone needs someone that they can lean on.
Mm-hmm.
That's around the same thing that I was thinking when you were talking about your book, Sisterhood Heals. What it means to have a circle, whether it's big or small, what it means to have a support system, what it means to be able to lean on someone or even for someone to be able to lean on you. And what that means for us as a sisterhood, Black women, inviting others into our circles to understand who we are, to have a better understanding. So we're not seen as the angry Black woman or the strong Black woman. So understanding the language we use, understanding the hand gestures may not mean that I have an attitude. It's just the way that I've been raised. So having that mental model of individuals in that environment, in that population, so others understand who we are. I'm going to shift a little bit and talk about therapy for Black girls and where you see it evolving. Where do you see yourself in a few years? I see that you are touching many lives through your platform, but how do you see it evolving and expanding to the future to serve the needs for Black women?
Yeah, so we are really wanting to grow more in terms of in real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we kind of are coming out of the pandemic or whatever stage we are in the pandemic at this point, people have really been craving like opportunities to gather in person. And so we are really looking at what kinds of experiences and activations we can do for our community to continue to allow people to get to know one another and like foster those support circles in their mm-hmm. area. So we're really looking at that. I'm also really looking forward to helping the therapists in our directory kind of continue to grow in their practices and continue to grow in the field. You know, I think strangely enough, a lot of therapists are feeling very burned out.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not strangely enough. I mean,
they
again, because the therapists have done a huge job of like supporting us through the pandemic, right? And so I think a lot of people are finding themselves like kind of crispy on the edges, and exploring like, what does clinical work look like for me? Like, what does it mean to be a therapist as we continue into 2024 and beyond? Mm-hmm. And so I'm really hoping to kind of have continuing conversations and workshops and things for our therapists to continue to support them as they continue to support the community.
That's really important too, because I don't think the individuals who receive help understand the real heaviness of the work for the therapist and how many of our therapists, we hear that every day. I oversee mental health providers at this for the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities, and many of our providers are losing therapists. Many of our therapists are leaving from direct service work and going to work, oversee another provider or do something. There's so many realms in the mental health profession that individuals don't realize that are out there. There's policy work, there's program management, there are mental health professionals, there are trainings. There's opportunities in so many different ways, because many of our therapists, their caseloads are so large because there's a huge workforce shortage, and everybody says, just send it over there to the therapist's office. She can handle it. Well, she needs to be supported as well. She needs to have a support system that is helping her keep her mental health together, because the stories and the trauma that she's helping her clients get through are sometimes taken on by them and gives them that, it's secondhand trauma. When individuals who work and support other individuals take on what the other individuals are having, and they're now struggling in their mental health path. It's just important for us to have that circle. So we see a lot of therapists joining groups or having support systems or having focus groups or therapist time where they go and have days out with the girls just to relax and enjoy themselves. How important is it to you for self-care, for therapy, for therapists, to make sure that they maintain a balanced life because the work that they do is so heavy? What is it? What self-care mean to you?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. I think, you know, a lot of what they teach us in as we are becoming therapists is that you have to take care of yourself, right? Like, right. As the therapist, you are the instrument of healing. Mm-hmm. And so if you are not doing a good job of taking care of yourself and making sure you're setting appropriate boundaries and, like, you know, managing your caseload and not taking on too much, then you are not able to hold space for your clients in the way that is going to be healthy for them or for you.
Right.
Right. And so I think it's hard, I think, for a lot of therapists, because our personalities tend to be very like, okay, I want to help, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I do. I want to offer these services. But I think we have to be very careful that if we don't pay attention to like setting boundaries around that, we can burn out and then we're not any good to our clients or to ourselves and our families, right? And I think it's important to think about, you know, like, yes, the work that we do is incredibly important, but it's not all of who we are. Like, we are part of larger circles in terms of families and friend groups. And so there needs to be enough of us to go around, and we can only really do that if we're taking good care of ourselves.
Yeah, I feel that way. I have my me time when I come home from work, because a mommy's role is never over. So you need that time. I go in my bathroom. My kids know when the door is closed in the bathroom. Most of the time when the door is closed, they won't bother me in there. But they know when I come home for work, that's my time. Let me decompress from there before you give me all the questions and needs that you have. Because I just had a long day myself. So let me decompress. I know that I know that you need me. I know that I have to be there. But just give me some me time to get myself together to transition over to the next needs of the next person. I know that you... drive women to seek therapy and you push women to receive mental health support. Can you tell some success stories in your work where you have seen women go from the stigma stage of having a huge stigma of seeking out help to where now they are thriving individuals living in recovery and continuing their therapy? Just so our listeners can hear how many of us struggle to seek out therapy and how many of us struggle to even ask for help. Can you tell them some success stories that will sort of edge them on just a little bit for them to seek help for anybody that may be struggling right now?
Yeah. So I don't do very much direct clinical work anymore because the podcast and like speaking and stuff is more of my full time job at this point. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I get success stories every day. Like somebody will send an Instagram message or send us an email about how they have worked with a therapist, particularly, you know, when like in the past 2 to 3 years when people were really struggling with yeah. their mental health, as we all were, right, in a right. pandemic. So many people have sent us emails saying that like something that we talked about on the podcast really helped them to get through a difficult day, or that they were able to connect with a therapist in our directory and they have really helped them, you know, process everything that has happened in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we get quite a lot of success stories, even if you don't always see them. You know, people will come up to me all the time and talk about like finding a therapist in the directory. And it always makes me smile. I love that so many people have been able to connect with other therapists and get the support that they needed because of the work that we do at Therapy for Black Girls.
That's pretty cool. Tell therapists, Black therapists who are out there, how do they get connected to your platform or get added? Are you accepting more individuals on the platform? How big do you see yourself growing? And what is the process of either getting to be a therapist on your platform or receiving therapy from your platform?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of the information can be found on our website at therapyforblackgirls.com. So there's a tab just for therapists that walks them through the process of adding their listing to our directory. So we're always accepting new therapists and even therapists who are in training. So as long as you are working under somebody's license, you can be added to the directory.
Awesome.
And so people submit their information and then we, you know, look through it to make sure everything kind of checks out and then they're approved and people can search for their listing.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of clients or potential clients who are looking for a therapist, there's also a button on the website that says find a therapist.
I love that.
And you can search by your state. You can search by insurance company. You can search by your presenting concerns. So if you're wanting to work on depression or anxiety or transitions, whatever it is, there's a filter there that you can look for. It's important for people to know that therapists are licensed by state.
Right.
So you do need right. to find somebody in your state. Now, virtual sessions have opened up a lot, right? Because before, when you were just going to wherever you could drive to, mm-hmm. your therapist options might have been more limited. But now, since there are more virtual options, you could work with potentially anybody in your state who does offer virtual services. And so I think that that's really cool, too, that the pandemic really kind of opened up a lot of options that for people that didn't exist because not a lot of therapists were offering virtual services
right.
before.
Yeah, telehealth has grown a lot and the yes. opportunity to seek therapy and the platforms to be able to, like, there's a platform seemed like every day coming across my Instagram or social media or the television. I watch a lot of television in the time that I have the time to watch a lot of television, but it's like the new buzzword. We have a campaign called Mental Health Isn't a Luxury, It's a Priority. Can you speak of how many should prioritize and not think that seeking out therapy should be a luxury, that it's really a priority that individuals seek out therapy or make sure that their mental health is stabilized so that they have can live a full life, enjoying their full life that they live?
Yeah. So I think for a lot of us, it had like we've grown up thinking that like only rich white people went to therapy. Right.
Right.
Like, you know, I definitely didn't grow up with like people talking about therapy. And I think a lot of us did. Now, mm-hmm. I'm really glad so many more of us now are talking about it. And like younger people are kind of already coming into a world where we're talking about therapy all the time. But we didn't always have that experience. Right.
Right.
And so I think a campaign like that is really important to know that mental health is not something that only like certain people should have access to.
Right.
I think that also helps to chip away the stigma that exists related to thinking that like you only talk to a therapist like when you're in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right.
That is a
right.
good time to talk with a therapist, but you could also talk with a therapist before like a crisis situation happens. And we might even be able to help you avoid the crisis,
right?
If you're doing the work, right? And so I think that those kinds of conversations are really important for people to understand that
yes.
mental health is something that we all have, that we all need to take care of. And therapy is a great way if you're interested in helping you to kind of continue to work on your mental health.
We keep speaking of therapy, but there are so many other ways to help deal with your mental health challenges, deal with struggles that you are dealing with, and making sure you have these tips and tools in your toolbox so, like you said, it doesn't become a crisis. You're able to tap into these things. Can you speak of other ways outside of therapy that individuals can help to heal themselves or heal others by seeking outside of therapy? I know we think therapy is really great. I don't think we think that. Therapy is an amazing opportunity for individuals to be able to have someone that can help them navigate those shaky worlds or shaky roads that you're traveling throughout life. But what are other ways that individuals can seek out mental health support outside of therapy?
So the greatest factor in mental health that I think most of us miss is taking care of our sleep and paying attention to sleep quality. Because we know, like, when you are around little kids who have missed their naps, like, they're cranky.
Yes.
Like, it's a whole mess, right? But we don't typically grow out of that as adults, right? And it just becomes escalated. And so I think paying attention to what we call sleep hygiene is one of the greatest things that you can do for your mental health. So making sure that you're getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Mm-hmm. How cool do you need your room? Or how warm do you need your room? Are you doing a whole bunch of stuff in your bed so that your brain doesn't know that, like, your bed is for sleeping?
Right.
If you're working and watching Netflix and all the things, like, your brain doesn't know what to do when you get in your bed. So making sure your bed is a space just for you to relax, paying attention to, like, what you're eating. And you also don't want to exercise too close to bedtime. So there are all these things that I think we could be doing that would help us to get better sleep that would then translate into us taking better care of our mental health.
Yes.
We've already talked about setting boundaries. That's another important factor in mental health, as well as, like, exercise and movement, paying attention to our diet. We know that there's a lot of connections between, like, mental health and different, like, anti-inflammatory foods and, like, those kinds of things. So all of that really goes into helping us to actually take care of our mental health.
You tap me and I feel seen and heard, because in my bed right now is a laptop, probably a snack, probably
so
a remote, probably a load of clothes. I think it's a pillow somewhere in there, but I'm about to break myself up. I'm about to take all of those. I'm about to have a space for everything so that when I get in my bed, I know it's rest time. I literally at nighttime, because I used to be a person who watched TV all the time and I couldn't go to sleep without the TV on. Now I feel myself not being able to fall asleep because the TV is on. So I have to be in complete silence to let my brain rest. My mom used to always say, go take a nap. Just go take a nap, reset yourself, come back and talk to me later after you've napped. And it's really true. If you are in a raging moment, or you're in a moment where you can't really navigate your thoughts at that time, go to sleep, start over, reset, and then wake back up with a refreshed new mind to be able to start your new day. And I really appreciate that comment, because I'm going to clean my bed tonight and we're going to put some fresh sheets on the bed and we're going to have a great night's rest because of Dr. Joy tonight. This is what I'm going to do. You mentioned exercise. You mentioned going out. What does nature do for you in bringing out joy and being able to be outside and the sun and the grass? And we've talked a lot about resetting. What does it mean? I hear people talk about grounding yourself outside and being able to reset under the sun. Can you give individuals some insights on what those things may be helpful to, especially now that we're coming out of this seasonal depression stage and we're going into the spring setting, so the sun is more bright out. It was chilly this morning, but it feels good outside right now. Tell us what sun and going outside would do for your mental state.
Yeah, I mean, it just is so good. Like, so there's all this research that talks about, like, all the endorphins that get activated with us in us because of sunshine, right? Like, we know vitamin D is something that's connected to our mental health. And so the sunshine is largely a part of helping us to raise those levels in our bodies. And it helps us to kind of feel better. So being able to kind of take a walk outside, you hear people talking about, like, go touch grass. And people kind of say that kind of in passing. But what they're talking about is what you mentioned, which is a grounding exercise, right? And grounding exercises are really helped us, are really designed to help us stay connected to the present moment, right? So if you are anxious and worried about like things in the future, if you're only focused on what does this sand feel like underneath my feet, it's more difficult for you to also be anxious in that moment. And so what kinds of things can help you to stay connected to the present moment? Nature also really helps to connect us to the fact that we are but a small speck of everything in this world, right? So when you are outside and you're looking at the sky and listening to the birds and paying attention to the people, it really helps you to focus on the fact that, like, yes, everything seems big in my world, but I'm really only a small part of everything else in this world. And I think that that helps to kind of spark gratitude and really helps us to understand that we are connected to something much larger.
Dr. Joy, this has been a wonderful conversation. You have dropped many gems to our listeners, and we're super excited to have you on the podcast. Can you tell individuals how to reach you or how to, we know how to get through Therapy for Black Girls, but how do we reach Dr. Joy Harden and your podcast and all of the great things that you are spreading across the social media and media world?
Yeah. So again, you can find all of the resources I mentioned, our weekly podcast, our therapist directory, our sister circle community. You can find all of that at therapyforblackgirls.com. You can find me personally at hellodrjoy.com. So that's where you'll find more information about any speaking engagements I have or able to read things that I've written in the past. And if you want to grab a copy of Sisterhood Heals, which I hope that you do, you can find all of that information at sisterhoodheals.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Any last words you'd like to leave our listeners as we go into this new season, as we're ending the first quarter of the year, of having grace with yourself and celebrating joy throughout the rest of the year?
So one, if you have not already scheduled some time off, make sure that you get that on the books, because it is important to take your time and like have restorative experiences and make time for joy. Even in spite of all the things that can be difficult, it's really important for you to cultivate spaces that feel joyful for you.
That is awesome. We are super excited to have you. I hope our listeners go by the Sisterhood Heals. I hope they like, share, and comment on this video. And I hope you come back for another time to tell us about all the great things that you are doing, or any new books that you're putting out, or any more countries that you have taken Therapies for Black Girls. So super excited, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
All right. We really, really appreciate you guys listening to Dr. Joy and joining us again for the Silence the Shame podcast. Again, like we said, like, comment, share, run up the numbers. Y'all know what it is. We want to make sure that we are providing lots of opportunities for you to have resources, support tools, individuals to help support your mental health along your journey throughout this life. But remember, take time, save a life, free your feels, and silence the shame. And don't forget to donate by texting silence to 707070. You guys have a great day. Bye.
3, 2, 1. I think it's time that we start the conversation to silence the shame.
Silence the shame.
Silence the shame. Silence is the difference between treatment or pain, life or death.
Silence the shame.
Speak up now and silence.
Silence.
Silence. Silence the shame.